Once again, it is the privilege of our church family at the Germantown Christian Assembly to extend our warmest wishes to our radio family for the Lord's rich blessing as we enter the new year of 2019. May He have His place at the center of our plans and yours. This evening, we will hear Pastor Brian Grant bring the fourth in his mini-series on The Worthy Walk, the manner of life the Apostle Paul described that must consistently characterize the faithful believer in Jesus Christ. Using the text in the book of Ephesians, Pastor Grant has been leading us in a study of some of the marks that characterize such a walk. And last week we heard the concluding part of two messages on how this worthy walk must be characterized by walking in unity, living in such a way that reflects the truth that the Holy Spirit has made us one in Christ Jesus. This evening's broadcast will build on that truth as Pastor Grant again visits the book of Ephesians to show how the worthy walk must also be a life walked in honor. So we invite you to turn once again to the fourth chapter of Ephesians and follow along as Pastor Grant brings the first part of his message, Walk in Honor. Here now is Pastor Grant.
William Henry Johnson was one of the first black American soldiers to engage in combat in World War I. William Henry Johnson was part of an all-black army unit that was sent to do guard duty in France. And in May 1980, while William Johnson was on guard duty in the Ardennes forest of France, the Germans launched a surprise attack against his position. Johnson was caught off guard, but he immediately responded with incredible valor. Somehow, as the fight wore on, it ended up being hand-to-hand combat, as somehow he was able to get, they got rid of his guns, he got rid of theirs, and it was hand-to-hand combat, Johnson against a number of Germans. But by the time the battle was over, Johnson had done the unimaginable. Multiple German soldiers lay dead, and Johnson was able to capture or to rescue an American soldier. The French were so impressed that he was awarded the French War Cross, the first American soldier to be so awarded by the French in World War I. But despite his incredible valor, his country never recognized him. Johnson died in 1929, and up to that time, there was no record of any honor that he received from our military. But you know, 37 years later, 37 years after he died, he was finally awarded a Purple Heart for the 21 wounds he got that night. Eventually, in 2015, President Barack Obama presented him with the Medal of Honor, the highest United States military honor. For his entire life, his country had forgotten him. But Johnson never forgot that night. That night that he had fought with honor. He never forgot that night when he single-handedly had killed multiple German soldiers. By the time the battle was over, multiple Germans were dead, single-handedly killed by William Henry Johnson. He had fought with honor, and he knew that that night he had fought the battle of a lifetime. My friend, I want you to know, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, that every single day you and I are in the battle of a lifetime. Because my Bible tells me that Satan is prowling around like a roaring lion. Are you with me this morning? Satan is prowling around. Young person, you need to know this. He's prowling around like a roaring lion, seeking Christians to devour. My friend, if we are going to be successful in the battle in which we are engaged, we are going to have to walk in honor. If we are going to win this spiritual battle, it's going to require that you and I walk in honor. And so this morning, as I continue the series on the worthy walk, I want to speak to you this morning on the subject, the walking in honor. Amen? Listen, if we're going to walk in honor, the text brings up at least three requirements. And I want to talk this morning about three of the requirements if you and I are going to walk in honor. Walking in honor requires a commitment to change direction. Put that in your notes. Walking in honor requires a commitment to change direction. Did you know that not every Christian is a vessel of honor? 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 20 and 21 tells us, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. The great house that Paul refers to is a metaphor for the church. And Paul is telling us, as he uses this great house as a metaphor for the church, he's saying in the great house there are some for honor and some for dishonor. Do you know that there are Christians who are not walking in honor? Oh, I don't know about you, but this morning, would to God that every Christian here, no matter what your age, would to God that every one of us would make a decision. God, I don't want to be a vessel of dishonor. God, by your grace, I want to be what? A vessel of honor. A vessel of honor. Amen. Listen, we don't become vessels of honor automatically. There is a decision we need to make. There is a commitment we need to make. And I want you to turn to our text for today, Ephesians chapter 4 verse 17. And here's what verse 17 tells us in Ephesians chapter 4. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles in the futility of their mind. Listen, if we're going to make it, we're going to have to make a decision. I ain't going to walk like the Gentiles. Amen? Help me out. Say it with me. I ain't going to walk like the Gentiles. In other words, I'm not going to live the way I used to live before I came to Jesus. Amen? There's got to be a difference. I have got to make a commitment. And young person, you have got to make a commitment. Older person, if you're going to make a difference for God, if you're going to achieve His purposes, you have got to make a commitment that I'm not going to be the same. I'm going to change. Pat Kelly was a baseball star, professional baseball star. And some of you who have been here a long time might remember he was here to share his testimony. And he said, you know, he used to be what he described as a fire engine Christian. I was the type of church member who the only time I came and talked to God was when I needed him to put out a fire. But one day, Pat Kelly decided to change direction. Amen? And he was never the same again. You know the life of some of these stars, the carousing, the carrying on, the dance, the partying, the womanizing, all that stuff. That was his life. But he decided to change direction. He was never the same again. Pat Kelly started evangelizing the league. A number of the baseball players became Christians as a result of his witness. And so he eventually decided he's going to witness to Earl Weaver, the legendary coach and manager of the Baltimore Orioles. And he, in his story, I haven't forgotten it, he said to Earl Weaver, he says, Earl, I want to encourage you to come walk with Jesus. Earl Weaver looked back at him and said, Pat, I'd rather if you walked with the bases loaded. Pat Kelly made a decision to change. Despite the fact he was a part of a professional team, that it was very, very difficult to live for Jesus because of all the distractions and the attractions and the allurements and the temptations with all that money and all those people hanging on, Pat Kelly made a decision and he was never the same again. Pat Kelly lived a life of honor. And I am going to encourage you, I'm going to suggest to you, it is possible for us to walk in honor, but it is going to require our making a decision to change direction. Amen. We must decide we're not going to live like the rest of the Gentiles. Have you made that commitment? You know, I know a young lady, and she made a decision for Christ when she was a teenager. She prayed the prayer, and she invited Jesus Christ into her heart. And but when she went into college, her roommate enticed her into a homosexual lifestyle. And as she fell into homosexuality, and her parents, they were Christians, they encouraged her to come back to the Lord and to change. But this young lady was convinced, listen, if the world says it's okay with me. You see, she was comfortable living like the rest of the Gentiles. And I believe there's somebody here, perhaps more than one person, and you have gotten comfortable living like the rest of the Gentiles because the world says it's okay. And so as far as you're concerned, it's okay. But you know, this young lady surprised me one day. She said to me, she says, I wish I had what you had. So I said, what is that? She says, I wish I could have a faith in God like you do. Tried to share with her that she could. But after we had a long talk, I discovered she wouldn't have minded having a relationship with God. What she wanted, though, is a relationship with God, but she also wanted to do her thing. She also wanted to live the way she wanted to live. I want to say this to you. You can't have the world and Jesus at the same time. I want to make sure everybody hears me this morning. You cannot have the world and Jesus at the same time.
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast. You've been listening over the last number of weeks to Pastor Brian Grant's series of messages on the worthy walk the Apostle Paul wrote up in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. Copies of all six messages are available on CD or DVD for a donation of $20. To order, please call 215-242-5550. Once again, 215-242-5550. Or reach us online at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. You may also write to us at Germantown Christian Assembly, 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. Please include your full mailing address and be sure to specify CD or DVD. We thank you in advance for your interest. And now, let's return to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
And those of us who preach this gospel need to make sure we make it plain, because I fear that little by little, our churches are being filled by people who want to have a little bit of Jesus, but a whole lot of the world. But you cannot have them both at the same time. Amen. You cannot enlist in God's army and keep wearing Satan's uniform. Am I right about that? You cannot keep wearing Satan's uniform and claim you have enlisted in God's army. And my friend, if you're here this morning, you need to hear me loud and clear that if you find that you're still holding on to the world, probably you need to check to make sure you are saved. Look at this verse 20 of that same passage we just read. Verse number 20 of Ephesians 4. It says here, as it talks about this person who refuses to let go, It says, but you have not so learned Christ, the person who is determined to walk like the rest of the Gentiles. You have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. Listen, what this passage is warning us, that it is possible to have said the sinner's prayer. It's possible to be a church member, but the apostle is saying to the Ephesians, listen, if your lifestyle isn't changed, you probably really have not learned Christ. You haven't been taught by him. You haven't heard him. You say, Pastor, how in the world could somebody say the sinner's prayer and not be saved? Did you know you could say the sinner's prayer and not be saved? You say, Pastor, that sounds like heresy. I thought that's how you got saved. Listen. There is a critical ingredient in salvation that all of us who preach the gospel need to make sure we don't forget. Because here's what Jesus said in Luke's gospel chapter 13 verse 3. In Luke 13 3, Jesus says, unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish. You see, the sinner's prayer is effective and necessary, but it is in the context of somebody who has repented. You say, what is repentance? As simply put, it's a change of direction. I was heading and enjoying my life of sin. I was enjoying living like a Gentile. Amen. Oh, by the way, this when he puts it there, is not about Jews versus Gentiles. He's really, the apostle is really saying, you're just living like everybody else. I was enjoying living like the rest of the world, but I am actually saying to God, God, I have decided to follow you, and I'm turning my back against the world, and I'm turning to you. And my friend, I want to ask you this morning, have you done that? Have you received Jesus Christ? Have you repented of your sin? Have you turned from the world? Have you said to him, God, I have decided to follow you. No turning back, no turning back. I am going God's way. Listen, if we are going to walk in honor, number one, it requires a commitment to change direction. But secondly, not only does it require a commitment to change direction, walking in honor requires putting on the new man. Put that in your notes. Walking in honor requires putting on the new man. A few weeks ago, I got a call from a young man in another state, and he wanted some help. And he said to me, he said, I'm struggling with some sinful desires. And he said, I have a question I need to ask you. I have all these sinful thoughts. And he said, do you think I could be demon possessed? So I said to him, I said, when you got saved, who came to live inside of you? He says, God did. And so you believe God came to live in you? Yes, I do. Well, I said, God and the devil can't live in the same house. So if you are a Christian, or you know, sometimes you go to churches and they're casting out all these demons out of Christians. I'm like, come on. God ain't living in the same house with a demon. Now the demon can harass you. The demon will tempt you. But the demon cannot live in me. Amen. I belong to Jesus. Amen. God, the Spirit of God lives in me, and no demon can possess me. And believer, you need to grab a hold of this. But what I believe was really bothering this young man, I believe what was really his question is, since I'm a new creation in Christ, why do I still have these terrible desires? Has anybody found out that since you got saved, you still have some bad thoughts? Am I the only one? Are all of you already in heaven? I haven't gotten there yet. I'm getting there, my brother. Brother Mel, you and I are the only ones. We're getting there. But so we have found out that there's some stuff. Let me break it down for you as to why this happened. Put this in your notes. At salvation, the Spirit of God comes to live in us, and he gave us a brand new nature. We didn't have to ask the Spirit of God to give us this new nature. It happened automatically. The Bible refers to this new nature. It also calls him the new man. Amen? That day that I got saved, I got a brand new nature. And because the Spirit of God gave me this new nature, you're going to see later on, I have the capacity to live for God. There is something brand new that has happened on the inside. Amen? Now, second, this new nature, this new man, gives us the capacity, I just said it, to resist sin and to live a godly life. Because guess why? This new man, or woman, we're going to call it a new nature. This new person, this new nature cannot sin. Well, I hope you heard me. The new nature cannot sin. That's why it is possible for us to live a godly life, because the new nature cannot sin. Whereas the old nature loves sin, the new nature cannot sin. But third, here's the problem. We did not lose the old nature, the old sinful nature. We still have the capacity to sin. I hear preachers telling us that the minute you get saved, you lose your old nature. Well, I tell you, I can give you a lot of good illustrations when my old nature acted up. Am I the only one? That's the challenge of the Christian life. Because the old nature, he's still around. What we don't realize, something is going on in us. And the new nature has a desire. We're not going to watch that pornography. The old nature says, well, we've been watching it for the last 15 years. We ain't going to change now. Business as usual. And so there's a battle going on, eh? Hey, you think I'm making this up? Listen to what the Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 7. I'm going to start reading at verse number 18. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. For the good that I will do, I do not do. And the evil I don't want to do, that I practice. Now, if I do what I don't want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. Has anybody ever found that out? Have you ever been there? Thank God for salvation. And you see, because before salvation, we had no choice. Before salvation, all we had was the which nature? The old sinful nature. Before salvation, all we had was the old sinful nature. And the old sinful nature loves to sin. But now that we are saved, we have got what? The new nature, the new man, the new person. Listen, we now have something in us, a brand new capacity that allows us. This new nature cannot sin. And so by God's grace, it is possible for us to have victory over sin. Yes, the old nature, he loves to sin. The new nature cannot sin. And so, listen, I got some say in this mix. Amen. So put down in your notes, if you would, put this in your notes. We must consciously replace the old man with the new man. You and I must consciously replace the old man with the new man. Listen to what it tells us here in Ephesians 4:22. He says that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. This new man has been created in what? In true righteousness and holiness. This new man cannot sin. And what he's saying, we need to replace the old man with the new. You said, but Pastor, you just said we can't get rid of this old man. No, you're telling me I must put him off. Listen, you'll never get rid of the old man, but you can minimize his impact on your life. I got some clothes that I I don't really like. I haven't got rid of them because some might have sentimental value because of who gave me. But I've put them off. You haven't seen me in them real lately. Are you understanding what I'm saying? I still have them, but they're not impacting my life very much.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner, need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-887-4750 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. And remember to ask for our daily devotional, The Word for You Today. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing to us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for worship this Sunday at 10:45 a.m. It will certainly be a pleasure to meet you. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.